Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are discussing finding our true selves through kingdom living. And as we talk about this, feel free to join the discussion or make comments or ask questions by contacting us. Our email is four@fourthstream.com.
Well, you know, when I wrote this book, Kingdom, Finding Your True Self, it's, God, our creator, wants us to succeed. And he takes extreme measures to do all he can to make a way for us to discover the great treasures of life.
And I have a question about that. What do you think are the great treasures of life? You know, I was thinking of the passage in Isaiah where he says, I'll go ahead of you, clearing and paving the road. I'll break down bronze city gates. I'll smash padlocks, kick down barred entrances, and I'll lead you to buried treasures, secret caches of valuables. Confirmations that it is, in fact, I, God, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. And in the New American Standard, it says, I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places. And so if we're finding our true selves and God allows us to find this, what is that?
Well, for me, I think at some point I realized that my interior life was much more important to God than my exterior life. And I think the treasures that are being described in those verses are the things that we gain in life as we find our true selves in God, our true identity in God. You know, it's easy to compare ourselves all the time to other people, our success, the things that we have, you know, how people look at us. But the reality is that those internal treasures are the ones that God unlocks. And for me, those have been issues of character. They have my sense of wonder, the delight that God has opened as he's made me recognize the true substance of life. And so many of those things are interior. And those are all things that I can take with me into the life to come.
Yeah, and those are things that you can't really discover when you're living in spiritual darkness.
Yeah, and you have to make a paradigm shift in order to move in that direction. And that really is what the faith environment is all about. You know, God over and over again calls out to his people. And that's why I like this study that we're doing here in the book of Matthew, because it's Jesus himself calling out and trying to explain to his followers and to the rest of the world what true substance is all about. It's just really cool. And then, so as I wrote this, the idea of coming close to finding my true self, it's a simple picture, but it's also complex because there have to be a series of paradigm shifts, which are key to the spiritual journey. And that's what we're trying to ruminate and investigate.
Yeah. And so talking about kingdom teaching, why do you think it's such a paradigm shift? And is this really the crux of the book, this paradigm shift that we have to make?
Well, the crux of is, yes, looking at how Jesus described that. So there are just, this is loaded with passages. You know, in the four Gospels, Jesus only uses the word church four times. Okay, so he uses the kingdom over 100 times. So the paradigm shift is to understand, I think, that interior world that we were just talking about. You know, when Jesus said, you know, I have a kingdom that you're not aware of, when he was explaining that, you know, to Pilate, that's where he wants us to live. That's what he wants us to experience together. And that's what I think is revealed in the book of Matthew as you go through the kingdom passages. So it's not about, you know, and I'm not anti-church at all. I love the church and I'm very devoted to it, but I've come to the realization that it's king first, kingdom second, and then the church. And I think that's the paradigm shift that is very difficult to make.
And probably the paradigm shift and time shift. It seems that it's easy to spend a lot of time on church or in church or with church and not with the king. Is that part of what you're saying?
Well, yes. And I think, you know, I can spend every waking moment and sleeping moment with the king if I choose to. And that's my interior world that I'm talking about. So yeah, there's those things I can do on the outside and those are great. And I love life. I enjoy life, but I also love growing inside in my connection with God. Okay. And I think that's what kingdom spirituality is all about. And that's why, you know, as I get going in the book here, I asked, and I found this, I think, in counseling. I'd get a couple sitting in front of me and, you know, and I'd listen to them and I'd listen to the other person and I'd sit there and I'd go, you know, I'd get behind the one person and the other person would start talking and then I'd get behind them.
You get the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Or more of the story.
Right. But I think the question that I've learned to ask with people is, what is it that you want? You know, what is it that you really want out of life? And I know that there are the obvious things that you can see and that you can grasp with your hands, but what about those things that you value? What are your deepest values? And I think that's what sets us on the journey or on the course to live a kingdom life and find our true self.
Well, that was one of, you actually write that question in there. This is your paragraph. I have found this question to be the real starting point on the journey to a satisfied mind. What do you value? Monetary success, personal security, being respected, to be a good father or mother, to experience a happy marriage, to have good friends, to be a good friend. And I said, as I read this, I'm going, yes, and more.
Well, by searching our heart and defining our motivations and desires, we can feel free and live free to explore greater principles and purposes, which is incredible. It's key to living a life bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. I think that answering that question that you asked, it made me begin to wonder if I could see how God was giving me what I most deeply needed. That if I don't know what kinds of things motivate me, then how do I know if I'm getting from God more than that? I'm not explaining this very well. I had a boss once that said, what motivates you? Because he was trying to figure out
right. How
to get me to reach the goals we had set. And that was a little bit of a surprise to me. It was like, well, money, pretty much money. But he was asking, like, more than a paycheck, what motivates you? So yes, it was bonus money. But it was also, I wanted him to notice. I wanted a pat on the back. I didn't want to just get there. You know, for others, it's prestige or power. But I had to wonder then, once I had the money and the pat on the back, you know, where does that end? And is it really fulfilling to have to keep working for those things?
Well, and that comes then down to the question, what is it that satisfies your mind? And you kind of have to have that conversation with yourself. That then leads for, you know, what do you want to be known for? I mean, when people think about you, and what is and what will be then your legacy to those around you? Because again, that's all part of having a satisfied mind.
Mm-hmm. And if I work for those things, I feel like I can work for a lot of those things, but somewhere I have to give it over because God has to, I can only make it so far. God has to do the rest.
Well, everybody has a worldview, and that worldview unfolds by our upbringing, what we experience relationally, our successes and our failures. And our interior world needs to... We have to think that through in relationship to what our worldview is and how, what we've experienced.
Our interior world in terms of what we love and yearn for. What is it that we really long for? Because those are the things that make up our worldview, I think.
Well, and then figuring out how to unlock the things that are inside of our heart that really get covered up by the condition humanity finds ourselves in and by the nature of life. And to unlock those things, what in our deep longings, the things that will truly satisfy our mind. And, you know, for instance, an example of that is I've realized, and it's taken me a long time, I've always kind of liked people. But I really love friendships. Mm-hmm. You know, I love my friendship with you. And our friendship together unlocks something inside that I consider a great treasure. Well, that makes me free on levels that I can't experience by exterior things. So when I talk about a worldview, I understand that everybody has that one that's been put together by what we've experienced. But what about that interior soul worldview that God wants to unlock and for us to enjoy and understand?
Well, and even that, as you say, that makes me realize those friendships that we have and those connections, they're just a tiny picture of the kind of connection God wants to have with us, that God does have with us. He's just kind of showing us how much greater it can be. We just get a picture here on earth of what's going to be even greater in heaven.
Well, it's important to have an informed understanding of our worldview as we pursue our own satisfied mind. Now, I know that's this is a pretty philosophical conversation, but you know, I've come to the conclusion that philosophy and theology, and I actually put science, you know, like information, science, the things that we learn from the human study. When you put those three things side by side, they should be cooperating with each other instead of our culture sets those, makes antipathy between the three. But the reality is that true theology, put it together with philosophy where you reason out what's going on in life. And if you put scientific information, you put those three things together, and then you can have a worldview that is not, you know, close-minded, because I think it's easy to be close-minded because of our worldviews.
And I think as you put those three things together, you cause each of those things to remain more accurate, because they have to. You can't have philosophy that doesn't go with truth. And you can't have science that doesn't go with truth.
Right. So, because truth is truth, and science is science. I mean, they're not against each other.
No,
they can't
not.
Be, especially when you think about who God is. He's the greatest intellect. You think he can't make the things fit together, even the things that we can't see?
That we haven't figured out yet, or that isn't shown us yet.
Well, these are some pretty lofty and beautiful things that have been presented to us by the living God in the God story. There are so many things, and we're going to be talking about some of those out of the book of Matthew as we go into a consideration of kingdom, finding your true self. We're going to search the Gospel of Matthew and attempt to internalize into this interior world of ours some of the things that we observe about our King, his kingship, and our quest to find a satisfied mind. And I said a little bit earlier that this isn't something that I came to early in my spiritual journey. First of all, in my life, I came up with a very self-centered life and a very self-centered world.
Well, self-centered faith.
Yes. And then and then God came into my life, and it was a very self-centered faith. And for a long time, I thought it was about doing, and I thought it was about a new way of finding recognition and satisfaction.
The things that you wanted.
and getting what I wanted.
Sure.
And I can remember the pain of going through and shifting through that and going, oh my goodness, this really isn't what God is giving me. He's giving me a different paradigm. He's giving me a different, not only a worldview, but a heart view. So this whole idea of coming to the place where I've recognized that it's King first, Kingdom second, church third, that was like a total flop. I mean, it was a flop over for me from, you know, because my kingdom was all about me. So it was all about my relationships. And what I've realized is it's all about my relationship. So understanding God's kingship and his authority over my life, and then allowing his kingdom to grow and unfold in my life. Well, that's huge to me being, I don't know, involved with people in ways that are helpful and that are going to result in my own satisfied mind.
And I love a lot of the verses that talk about that he opens up spacious places for us, or gives us spacious places to live, or and you realize that's what he's doing when he's showing us his kingdom. It's not our kingdom, which is kind of small and grasping. It's his kingdom, which shows us spacious places.
Well, we're going through the book Kingdom, Finding Your True Self. And next time we're going to talk a little bit about defining true success. Because if we want to find our true self, we have to think about what we really value, like we discussed a little bit. And finding our true self involves, you know, what does it mean to succeed? And I think the Bible is really clear about what that is. So I want to talk about that biblically. I want to talk about it philosophically. I don't know how scientific it'll be, but I want to talk about it from those perspectives and see how they fit together.
And I'm not much of a philosopher, so I'll be listening. You'll be talking.
There you go. Hey, fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click on the radio button.